Hey, I'm Sana Qadar. This is Mind Hacks, which is All in the Mind's brand new mini midweek pod. We are asking the experts that we interview four specific questions, kind of in the vein of the game F, Marry, Kill, but we're doing a way politer version. We're doing love, hate, avoid. And basically, this is love, hate, and avoid for mental health. We want to know, the people we speak to, what do they do in their own lives to look after their mental health? We want their hacks. So, episode one is a big one. We're kicking off with psychotherapist Esther Perel. Love. What is one mental health tool or strategy or practice or piece of advice that has made a real difference for you?
One of my teachers said to me, if a couple can no longer laugh, that is often when you know that there isn't much left. Because we take ourselves so seriously when we are in the midst of our arguments and our fights. And to have some humor, which brings some perspective, which brings some distance, which relativizes it a tiny bit, gives us tremendous leeway to actually be able to move. Otherwise, we are really stuck. So it is a thing we don't talk about nearly enough, the importance of humor.
Mm. Okay, so one way to measure the health of one's relationship would be, are you still laughing?
Yes.
Hate. What is the biggest stressor in your life currently, and how are you managing it?
I have a feeling that something big and ominous is coming upon us. There's a level of ontological anguish that we are having. It's like we don't know where is this world going. Conflicts seem exacerbated. Polarization is everywhere. It's very difficult to have some conversations. And I experience the stress of not being able to... It's not that I need the certainty, but I would love to not feel like... It's like a tidal wave. You see this thing arrive and you see this thing and you don't know if you should run, if you should duck, if you should face it. What is one to do at this moment?
And if you're still working that out, what hope is there for the rest of
us?
I
live in the same world. You know, I am not speaking about the things I talk about because I'm not participating in them. I am in it. And I sometimes think that one of the things I can do that helps me with the stress is I try to articulate what we are experiencing and provide us with a framework, with words, in this instance, language, to help us make sense of that which we are feeling.
Hmm. Avoid. What is one mental health practice or trend or gimmick that you think people would be better off treating with caution and why?
Because I love you, I should be able to tell you everything.
Okay.
Even if what I have to say is really mean and contemptuous. But I should be honest. Didn't we say we were going to be honest with each other? I should tell you everything. Everything I don't like about you included. I think that sometimes certain things need to be said, but not to that person. What are you to gain from that? A certain kind of transparency that can sometimes lead to an emptying of a garbage bin is not necessarily what is going to help in creating trust and safety in a relationship.
Have a filter.
Exactly. Have a filter.
All right. Final question. What is the biggest thing that people get wrong
about? I like your summary. It's actually really to the point. Have a filter.
Exactly. Yes. What is the biggest thing that you think people get wrong about your work and your work? Is there any misconceptions that you would like to clear up?
I think that I try in my work to hold up complexity, but that doesn't mean that everything goes. I think I try in my work to not be judgmental, but to really have a deep understanding of multiple realities coexisting. And that doesn't mean that I am totally relativistic. And I think that people need to listen to the things I say as guideposts. Because to how to think, if you think differently, you will act differently. Don't just take what I say and then apply it black on white. That's probably, so the question is, what is most misunderstood? What is most misunderstood is also what is most appreciated. That's important to understand. It is how people experience that. The fact that I try to hold, you know, as a clinician, I am not there to make decisions for other people. The only person who will live with the consequences of the decision is the person who's affected by it. So I am very reluctant to just say, do this and do that, because I go to sleep afterwards. It's not my life. Mm. And that is something for everybody else to pay attention to as well. These days, people want immediate advice, often about things that we don't know enough about.
I feel like sometimes people just want someone to tell them what to do.
Yes, but then, sometimes we want somebody to tell us what to do, even though they don't know enough, even though they're not the one who will live with the decision. And then if it doesn't work, we can say, I did what you told me so. Mm-hmm. It's really hard to own your decisions and to remember why you took them, even when later you will take, what an idiot I was.
Right. Esther Perel, thank you so much for being on Mindhacks.
My pleasure. It's a treat.
Okay, that is Mindhacks. That's our first attempt at this. We're going to play with it for a couple of weeks and see how we go. But I hope you got something out of that. If you want to let us know what you think, you can always contact us on allinthemind@abc.net.au. There will be another episode of Mind Hacks dropping mid next week. It'll be with Professor Joel Pearson, cognitive neuroscientist from UNSW, who is also the subject of our main show this coming Sunday, all about AI and cognitive atrophy and uncertainty and all the things that make AI, you know, potentially perilous for our psychology and our brains. So see you Sunday for All in the Mind, and then midweek for Mind Hacks. Catch you soon.